Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When storms brew,
the eye wall,
batten down the hatches,
only one station can get you the right information.
Make sure you're executing your plan now.
Sky Stormwatch or Radiant Credit Union.
Stay alert.
We get storms in October.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
We're in a political season. We're in a season where when it comes to, I don't know, law enforcement, crime, there's a lot of things that go on that people just have questions about. And I thought, well, I know somebody who can answer all kinds of things about that. Of course, I'm talking about our state's attorney for the 8th Circuit, Brian Kramer. Brian, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We appreciate you getting up early. I know you are, you're actually going to be, along with some of the other, I'll do the air quote here, dignitaries towards the front of the parade in Gainesville today.
That's right. We'll be in the parade today. Looking forward to it.
So I guess it's incumbents that get to do that, right?
That's correct. It'll be the current office holders for the local offices.
So all the folks downtown Gainesville, our sheriff, Emmer Ganey, he'll be there with you.
He should be in the parade with us as well.
Okay, sounds good. A lot of things I want to run by you in a limited amount of time. But we had a caller call a little bit earlier this morning, in fact, while you were waiting to come on. And he talked about how he was watching things being stolen from a local hardware store. And when he brought it to the attention of the staff, they said, we can't do anything. We talk about how in California, if it's under $1,000, nobody prosecutes. The staff aren't even allowed to do anything. To the average person on the street, that's very frustrating because we all pay for that. Can you kind of give us a little capsule of kind of why that is? And even though we may not like it, it's kind of what we have to live with in our stockholder, big corporate world, and yet crime on the street we don't like.
Absolutely. So, you know, corporations, they're in the business of making money.
Right.
They're not in the business of preventing and detecting crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're doing is acting in their best interest or their fiduciary duty to their stockholders. And they're weighing what is the potential cost of the loss of this item versus what is the potential cost of a lawsuit resulting from some kind of violent interaction with a person who's stealing. And of course, they don't have to make the considerations that we as law enforcement make, which mm-hmm. is that we have the duty to protect the public. We have the duty to represent the interests of the state of Florida. So from the public law enforcement perspective, of course, it would be our preference that those incidents be detected and reported mm-hmm. and prosecuted. But we don't have the ability to control what people do or what corporations do in their own processes.
So if they're not going to press charges, you can't do anything. Because if there's no charges, there's no arrest. If there's no arrest, there's no case. If there's no case, what do you... You have nothing.
Correct. And law enforcement wouldn't be aware of it, and then the prosecutor wouldn't be aware of it if the corporation's not making us aware of what is happening in their environment.
Brian Kramer, state attorney in studio with us. One thing that I know, because again, it's a different standard, there's always the frustration, I think, sometimes people see cops arrest someone, but then there's never a prosecution. The reality is the criteria that cops work with and what the state's attorney's office has to work with aren't the same, and that maybe is a misunderstood thing that can be frustrating for some folks.
Correct. The system is designed in a particular way so that law enforcement has the ability to make an immediate arrest and an immediate decision mm-hmm. to protect the public.
Right.
That if law enforcement had to abide by the standard that I have to abide by, which is proof beyond a reasonable doubt, then it'd become very, very difficult for law enforcement to make an arrest when something is ongoing and the totality of the evidence that might prove that event happened isn't yet available. So law enforcement has to have that standard of probable cause mm-hmm. to make an arrest. That is the start. And then the investigation begins, and then it goes to the state attorney.
Right.
And the state attorney then has their the job is to evaluate this and determine if there's proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And there isn't going to be in every single situation. So there are going to always be cases where that proof isn't sufficient. And our duty is to not prosecute when that isn't, that proof isn't there, just as it is our duty to prosecute when that proof is there. And that's what can frustrate people, is that they want that proof to be there in every single case,
right,
as do we. But that isn't the reality.
Right. Because for a cop who spends time on the street, they say they see a lot of the same people. And you always know you've got those handful that are all the one. They're always the reoccurring criminal.
Correct.
But yet, it doesn't necessarily meet a standard that's going to get a conviction.
Right. The expression in the business is that 80% of crime is committed by 20% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's absolutely the case that law enforcement is going to see the same individuals with some frequency.
Right.
And of course, some crimes, what we might call nuisance crimes, even though we are prosecuting them, and they're being, those people, they're only, the maximum might only be 60 days in the jail.
Right.
So that person, even if they got the maximum, could be back out creating a nuisance.
Doing the same thing all over again.
Doing the same thing, go back to the jail, and it could be, even if they're getting the maximum, it could be an every 2 month cycle.
Right.
And of course, the maximum isn't what people normally get in any particular situation.
And depending on the judge you get.
There's the judge. And so you can have, and I think the sheriff has talked about the fact that he has situations where he has people who are being arrested 14, 15, 20 times a year.
Yeah.
And that's extremely frustrating.
Yes.
But that's the way the system is designed. That's that's the way that the law wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer isn't, hey, let's be mad at the sheriff or let's be mad at the prosecutor.
Right.
The answer is, tell your legislator that we need these nuisance type of crimes to have greater and enhanceable punishments.
I like that.
So an enhanceable punishment means you've done this once, that's one thing. You've done it twice, okay, the penalty goes up.
Right.
Third time becomes a felony. Right. Then
I like that.
Right. Then
like that.
And any felony has a minimum of a 5-year prison sentence that is possible of the outcome.
If it were the maximum. I mentioned this is political season. You are running again for the 8th Circuit for state's attorney. And I know that even that position, people, again, don't always understand what it is you do. You are a prosecutor. And I know with you, if I'm not mistaken, in conversations we've had, there's not a position in that whole succession of the line of all the jobs within the state's attorney's office, I think you've held pretty much all of them, haven't you?
I have. I have.
Okay, I thought so.
I've been a prosecutor for over 25 years.
Okay.
And, I came up through the ranks, and including I've served now for over 12 years as the executive director of the office, meaning that I not only do I know the prosecution side, but I know the business side of the office, and that's incredibly important.
And this covers, what, 6 different counties?
6 different counties, 4,300 square miles, and about 400,000 constituents.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of coverage. Without getting into some detail, I was kind of surprised that someone that is running against you, their background is a defense attorney.
That
confuses me, going, wait a minute, no, this is a prosecuting position, because you're trying to do what's right by the public and help law enforcement do their job and prosecute crime. Why would someone, or what is the result if you vote for someone that's, their background is defense?
Well, first of all, we should recognize that this is a national trend.
Really?
Yes, that this is what's been...
That's backwards.
Well, it is, but this is what's been happening in certain states across the country, and we've seen those results.
Right.
So
yeah.
San Francisco, counties in California, Illinois, and we've seen the result of those being the increase of crime, and companies like Whole Foods having to pull out of San Francisco is an example of what happens when you have a prosecutor who is... who's been elected by the public, that's a defense attorney. And so that's a national trend, and it's what I would call a tried and failed experiment. Prosecution is a particularized job that requires people who have a particularized view on how the criminal justice system should work. And it requires that we stay in our lane. We have a job to do, and it is a prescribed by law job. It's in the Constitution. It's in Chapter 27 of the Florida statutes. And part of what, as a conservative, is you understand is you got to stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. You don't change the law. The law's not up to me. To make the law is up to the legislature.
So if you got a problem with what the laws are, got to talk to Tallahassee. Right.
But when you're a progressive and you want to affect social change, you see this job as an opportunity to affect social change through means that are not addressed in the law.
And so then you put a defense attorney in the position who will kind of follow their pattern of lack of law enforcement. So if folks want to find out more about you and your campaign, what where can they go?
The website is keepkramer.com. And of course, we're on Facebook as well. And you can read all about me there. And I am at 120 West University in Gainesville, Florida. And my information is also on the Florida Bar website.
Kramer is spelled?
K-R-A-M-E-R.
Well, there you go. Well, Brian, thanks so much for coming in.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.